And now it's time to chat nutrition, talking to Anetsi this morning. And we're talking about myths and busting myths around nutrition. Anetsi, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Wayne. Thank you very much.
And our episode of nutritional myth busting, I suppose there are many myths and sort of call them old wives' tales in the nutrition industry.
I think what makes it difficult today is the fact that, you know, nutrition advice is really everywhere. Mm. We see it on social media. There's so many influences and headlines and product labels. And I think as consumers, it's very easy to get confused and also really to know what should I really believe. Mm. And I think what we have to understand is the louder the message, the more likely it is that it might be a very misleading thing that you are following.
Okay.
So I sort of had a look currently what the biggest myths out there will be. And still the good old one that everybody speaks about is the fact that carbohydrates make you fat. So obviously there's lots of ketogenic diets because people believe that carbohydrates make them fat. And I think it often gets blamed for the fact that it makes us gain weight. But what we still have to remember is that it is still our preferred source of energy for the brain. Mm. And the brain utilizes about 120 grams of glucose a day just for normal function. And so the important thing when it comes to carbohydrate is whole food carbohydrate sources, not really elimination of carbohydrates, but choosing whole foods such as whole grains, legumes, fruits, vegetables, and especially ones that are high in dietary fat, because dietary fiber. So because that will slow down your digestion. Mm-hmm. Or if I say it slows digestion, I mean the digestion process is obviously slower, and that improves your blood glucose regulation and it enhances satiety. So because we've chosen a whole grain type of carbohydrate, it actually keeps us fuller for longer. And because of that action, we actually eat less. Mm. So if we choose those, your calorie consumption will be less. And there's also evidence to show that if we take fiber-rich carbohydrates, it's got the ability to lower body weight and reduce the risk for type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease. So if fiber really helps us to get rid of toxins in the body, the sources that we have is from carbohydrates. Mm. So if we choose a low carbohydrate diet, the risks are there that you don't consume enough fiber to do the job that fiber needs to do.
Mm-hmm. You've got to be careful, you know, what you listen to, and, you know, maybe ask your dietitian or your doctor or somebody that's qualified to actually advise you.
Yes, and I think the reason why carbohydrates get such bad publicity is because it's so easy to get refined carbohydrates that is low in fiber, sometimes even added sugars, and those are the ones that the body metabolizes very quickly, and it doesn't really fill you up. So the amounts that you eat of those carbohydrates will be more. And then that's how you will gain the weight, because it's so easy to consume a lot of refined carbohydrates. Mm. I always think, if you think of a little white bread roll versus the little one with the seeds and the whole grain flour, will be easy for you to consume two of the white bread rolls, but you'll be happy after that one with all this small brown one with the seeds and whatever is in there. But you've consumed double the calories by eating two of the refined carbs versus the one. And then we get all the negative things of lots of insulin production, which is an anabolic hormone, which will lead to weight gain that can lead to insulin resistance. So quite important to just to understand and to make clever choices when it comes to carbohydrates.
Mm. Okay.
Then the second one, also the sugar that people describe as poison. And I think there's a yes and a no part to this. Obviously, glucose is essential for us. And what we have to understand is if we remove sugar from the diet, our liver will still manufacture glucose through a process called gluconeogenesis because we need the glucose. But the real issue is really the added sugars, especially these days from sugary forms that we are drinking, whether it's a flavored water or a cool drink. But all of that is full of obviously refined sugar. It's sugars without fiber, and that leads to glucose spikes and also a poor appetite regulation. So many times put you in that spiral of just consuming more sugar because you crave that because of the negative insulin profile that you've created. And then obviously what happens is we take in way more calories than we are supposed to take in. But if we consume sugar in whole foods, in other words, probably if we think about it, fruits in general will be rich in sugar, but natural fructose with fiber and water, those are not harmful. It will be the added ones that are harmful. And the link are really found between your sugar sweetened beverages and weight gain, and not whole foods that's maybe rich in a natural sugar. And then also fruit has got a lot of metabolic benefits in terms of fiber, vitamins, antioxidants. So they might not necessarily be harmful to you. But it's the overconsumption of added sugar that is the real problem for us. And unfortunately, these days, super easy. I sometimes walk in a shop, if you think you want to buy a snack, then or maybe just a sandwich, or there's absolutely no whole wheat option choices. And so it's generally refined, fried, and poor quality meats, processed stuff. So it's really hard to, even if you want to buy something that is healthy, sometimes it's really difficult because it's almost like, you know, the food chains, they don't really put effort in making a healthy snack or a light lunch or whatever you know, a convenient type of food that you can quickly buy. It's really hard to find. So you have to be creative if you want to avoid the refined carbs and the lots of sugar.
And just quickly talking about sugars, which is better for you, brown or white sugar? Or are they equally bad for you?
That's a very difficult question.
Okay.
I think they are quite equally bad for you, but I always think the less processed, the better. So if we look at sugar in general, from that, I'll never forget, like as a child, they take you to the sugar factory and they actually show you all the stages of sugar. So if we look at that molasses, it's that black syrup, it's the first phase, and then you get the demerara, and then it becomes brown, and then it's white sugar and caster sugar and icing sugar. So all of that goes through processes. So I think even with sugar, the more you know, the more wholesome you get it in terms of the closer to each natural form, the better it will be maybe in nutrients. Right. But we still have to remember that a teaspoon of sugar is a teaspoon of sugar. Give or take 65 kilojoules from whether it's one teaspoon of white sugar, brown sugar, honey syrup, syrup's a little bit more. That's just the one thing that you have to remember, generally calorie-wise. So maybe brown sugar, because there's less processes involved, it's less refined, might be a better, and the taste is better because obviously you still get some of the original sugar caney taste in that, because it's not when it didn't go through so much processing. So that's really the thing between white and brown sugar.
No,
it's totally fine. Many people ask, should I take white or should I take brown sugar? And my answer would always be, I think brown would be better. Where it's really better, I'm not 100% sure, but so, I would still say brown, it tastes better.
It does, and some people prefer it in their coffee.
Yes, it really makes a better cup of coffee. I agree. And then detox diets. Obviously, you'll see lots of stuff. They advertise a four-day detox diet. You're going to lose so much weight. But I think we have to remember that our body's been designed very effectively. So we have got the liver, the kidneys, and the gut that really eliminates toxins from the body. So liver converts toxins into water-soluble compounds. The kidneys excrete a waste through urine. And then obviously our gut eliminates it's through stool. So I think the key here is water cleanse. So if we've got three types of elimination systems already that's naturally in our bodies, I think if we put normal water into our bodies to help the liver, the kidneys, and the gut with the elimination process, there's really no detox tea or juice or whatever that's going to help you, make this whole process better. And unfortunately, sometimes many of the detox programs restricts protein and restricts fiber intake. And fiber, as I mentioned earlier, is one of the most important nutrients in terms of detoxification. So I think whole fibers and lots of fresh water is the key if you want to detoxify your body.
Okay.
And then also the fact that fat is bad for your health.
Mm-hmm.
I think, again, we have to, and also fat gets blamed for heart disease. And again, this is a yes and no answer.
Mm.
Fat is very essential for us. It protects our organs. It helps with cell membrane integrity, hormone production. It also helps us to utilize fat-soluble vitamins. So if we don't consume fat, our body cannot utilize the fat-soluble vitamins that we consume. And so it's the type that we consume that's very important. So we have to focus on unsaturated fats. Those are the ones that improve our lipid profile. So once again, if you consume monounsaturated fatty acids, it's got the ability to help you correct the cholesterol, to make your good cholesterol higher, your bad cholesterol lower. And also if we have omega-3s, whether it's in the form of a plant or a fish, it helps us to reduce inflammation in the body. And I think that's one of the most important things, is really to make sure that we actually put focus on omega-3s to help the body reduce inflammation, and then also unsaturated fatty acids that helps us to correct our lipid profiles. Yeah, so you can consume fat, obviously, and we say about 30% of your total calories for the day are allowed to come from good quality fats.
So once again, fats are, would I be correct in saying that the buzzword here is moderation?
Definitely moderation. I think,
definitely
moderation. Even if we look at diets in general, you know, people talk about fad diets, but it is consistency is key when it comes to good nutrition. So people would say, and the other thing people say is, if I have a superfood, will a superfood fix your health? At the end of the day, the best health outcomes will be if you are consistent with good choices, instead of going for one superfood to fix everything.
Yeah.
If we look in the world, the populations that literally are the healthiest are the ones that have diverse plant foods, adequate protein, maybe good fats, and no processed food. That's really the key of being healthy, is to make consistent good choices.
Right. And that then gives you a little bit of leeway. It's a case of, I'm just thinking of sort of an extreme example where a person decides that fat, for argument's sake, makes you fat. So they yes. kind of completely go off anything that even vaguely resembles. And then what they end yes. up doing is they do damage to their body because the body needs the right amount of the right types of fats to actually function correctly.
Yes. Yes, it's true. And it's, I believe, it's easy to believe that fat makes you fat because I've mentioned this before. If you look at 1 gram of carbohydrate, 1 gram of carbs will give you 17 kilojoules, whereas 1 gram of fat will give you 39 kilojoules. Mm-hmm. So gram for gram, it is true. And therefore, it is important to almost know your portion sizes when it comes to fat and make sure that somebody helps. So if I talk about 30%, make sure somebody helps you to work out exactly how much your 30% would be. So for instance, will it be half an avo, 2 teaspoons of peanut butter and 5 olives a day? Then you use those. And you add them to your day, and that's how you get your monounsaturated fatty acid kilojoule controlled, and your body can work with it. So I think that's really the secret when it comes to fat consumption, if you've got the fear that fat will make you fat. Yes, right.
So you make sure that you eat, once again, the right types of fats.
Yes, yes. Mm. And then I always get this question, should my last meal be at 6 o'clock? Because if I eat after 8, I will gain weight. Mm-hmm. So those are the questions people ask. And what we have to remember is our bodies doesn't really shut down. And what really is the problem is that if we have overconsume on calories, the body will store that as fat. And I think the other thing is, it's more about the biological, physiological process for eating late, is because it can maybe lead to sleep deprivation, or you do sort of high process, mindless eating, which that's really what make you gain the weight, not the fact that you ate it so late at night, but it was just bad choices that you made, you know, at that time. So mealtime alone doesn't determine whether you are going to gain fat or not. It's really how much you eat overall. So your total calories that you consume in 24 hours. And weight gain is more linked to sleep disruption and food quality than clock time. So they've really found that meal timing can affect your appetite hormones, but not fat gain when calories are controlled. So, it's really a complex type of scenario. I think the main thing to focus on is that if you are tired and you come home, it's very easy to overconsume on and also I call it grazing. So when you walk 6-7 o'clock, when you walk into your home, you are ravenous and you just start
now
eating.
When
you sit down for your meal, maybe at 8 o'clock, you forgot about the stuff that you consume from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and then you think it's your 8 o'clock meal that's making you gain weight, but it's really all that mindless snacking that you did
beforehand.
From 6 to 8. So it's very important to actually focus on a late afternoon snack, like a 4 o'clock snack that is rich in protein, is really important, because that will actually prevent you from that mindless snacking until dinner time. And you can save yourself a lot of calories, and your dinner will also be a smaller portion if you have a good quality protein snack at 4 o'clock. And it really works because it prevents you from that afternoon slump, tiredness, irritability. That's probably in people that want to lose weight. I think if you can get that right, especially for women that's driving around in a car, picking up children, still need to buy snack food. And when you are shopping, you then snack because you're so hungry and you want to eat anything. So those are important things in this context. If you think it's a late night meal, that will make you gain weight.
And once again, don't wait until you're starving to eat, because that's when you probably overeat. I'm sure that was a topic of one of our chats a while ago.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Well, I still have a few, but I don't know how much time, so you must tell me
Maybe we
if I
bust
must
one
stop.
more myth. I think let's bust one more myth.
And then maybe the last one that I will speak about is that supplements can replace a healthy diet. So maybe I can just drink all supplements and don't stress about food. And that is very untrue. So we need whole foods again because of the fiber, thousands of phytochemicals that's in there, and real food nutrients. The synergy is not the same as supplements that you take. So, large trials on antioxidant supplements have repeatedly failed to show the benefits seen instead of having a diet rich in fruits and vegetables with real antioxidants, real fiber, real phytonutrients. So, I think supplements that are useful might be vitamin D and maybe iodine if we don't get into the sun. And the main thing that people should understand that a supplement are there to complement your food, not to
Not to
replace food.
replace,
So
yes.
no, so we should aim for a balanced diet, and we can supplement the things that we know are maybe difficult for us to consume. And a good example will be, for instance, somebody that's lactose intolerant. If dairy is a good source of calcium, so if you can't have 2 cups of dairy a day or 500 milliliters of dairy in a day, a calcium supplement is not a bad idea. So that's sort of how we should think about it. If you are
Okay.
not fortunate enough to be able to go out in the sun and spend some time outside, vitamin D is definitely a good idea. So that's how people should think about supplements, and not thinking that with a supplement I can just heal myself without, and then eat maybe unrefined, refined foods, and have a bad diet. The answer is definitely no. It's not
Not
going to work.
that's
It's not going to be beneficial for you.
So there's no easy way out. You've got to have good food and good meals. You can't just have a row of tablets, breakfast, lunch,
No,
and supper, and that
no,
gives you everything you need. Wow, it's an
definitely not.
interesting topic, and definitely one called it food for thought. And let's see if somebody wants to reach you. Maybe they've got nutrition questions, or they need the services of a nutritionist. How do they get in touch?
More than welcome to contact me on 084-609-3989, or they can find me on Instagram at @unetsy.
And Etsy, thank you very much. Have a great week.
Thanks so much, Ryan. You
Cheerio
too.
then. That